For the reading of God's word, I'm going to read to you from Psalm 34, and here's what the psalmist wrote. I will bless the Lord at all times. Boy, you have to kind of measure yourself against that. That's a high bar, isn't it? I will bless the Lord at all times. Does that mean even when I'm upset? Does that mean when things aren't going the way I want them to? Boy, that changes me when I learned to do this. Yeah. Instead of just run wild, I just bless the Lord at all times, even in the tough ones. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Continually. Even when there's things that pop up in my life that don't want me to speak in ways of praise to the Lord. They want me to say other things because I'm unhappy about circumstances. But his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Why? Because I recognize he's got total control of everything. I need to be in submission to that. So, Father, we surrender everything to you. Bring revelation knowledge through your word to all of us by the Holy Spirit. And most importantly, destroy the spirit of fear that grips so many hearts and keeps them back from all you have for them. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. And when you praise and worship the Lord, it's not necessarily something you feel, although feelings are a part of that and certainly can manifest in the middle of that, but it doesn't have to originate because I just feel good. I'm going to praise the Lord. I can feel bad and I can praise. It's a decision that you make in life. I decide I'm going to praise the Lord, even when stuff has not gone the way I wanted it to. Magnify the Lord with me. In other words, let God be greater than anything I'm dealing with, and let us exalt his name. Then he says, together, which means that's why we were assembled together on the Lord's Day, because the early church gave us the pattern. We are to be together. Worship is wonderful when I do it alone, but it's magnified when I do it in group with the body, with the rest of the fellowship, at the command of the Lord, and we should regularly assemble ourselves together according to what Jesus tells us in his word. In other words, stop talking about yourself and magnify the Lord. Quit telling God how bad your life is. Quit telling God how big your giants are and tell the giants how big your God is. Right? I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. There's a phenomenal expression I've been just reading to you from God's word. Sequentially, the steps that are taken to see God go to work on your behalf. And I see fear leave my life when I seek the Lord and get in right relationship with him. I get aligned with him. So why are you sweating it when life gets tough? How many know our world's a mess? The governor of New York signed a bill passed by the legislators that says right up until the day of birth, they can abort a baby. It's incredible. I thought, you know, we got a tough situation here with politicians in California, but look at what they just did in New York. That's an abomination to the Lord. God hates seven things in Proverbs chapter 6, one of which is hands that shed innocent blood. And that's the innocent. It's horrible. I look at that, and there were Jewish people in the legislature of the state of New York who have been given the Torah, the word of God, that commands his people not to shed innocent blood, that it's an abomination to him. And they voted on behalf of that to happen. And I think, don't you know your own history? Don't you understand? It's an amazing mess we live in today. I mean, even Pharaoh wasn't that bad. He spared the females when he slaughtered the innocents. And I thought, man, what a world we're living in. The increase of crime and destruction. Every day you're bombarded from the news media with all kinds of messages of fear. Got everybody living on the edge. Affects everything and confidence in the stock market, confidence in our future. You face stuff today that generations before us never had to face. Everything around us tries to steal our peace from us. The enemy tries to fill us with the spirit of fear. And as long as you operate from a position of fear, you never operate in faith, but you make a decision, I will not allow that spirit to affect and influence my life. Job said, the thing I feared most came upon me. the thing that you allow to overwhelm you, that grips you, that very thing will happen to you. But be convinced, God said, you have power to conquer and overcome every fear in your life. You can't be living your life afraid all the time. I'm afraid I'm going to lose the job. Afraid my husband is going to leave me or my wife's going to walk. Or you can't be afraid your finances are going to disappear. You put God first in tithe and offering. And that takes all the fear out of everything. And because you recognize, even though my name is on an account, that money's not mine. It's his. Everything belongs to him. So when he says, this is what I want you to do, it's not a matter of, well, I'll think about it. No, it's yours. So you tell me what you want, and I just do what you ask. That's how it operates, and it takes all the fear out of it. You put God first. You operate in such a way, I'm living for the Lord. And you say, God, I put all of this in your hands because I can trust you. I can trust you. The enemy's plan for you is to walk in fear all your life. He keeps you paralyzed when you do that. People who are fearful always fail. If you walk in fear, you always have collapse. We live in a day when the family unit's being threatened like never before. What they're doing at our legislature level related to education is appalling. Trying to force parents to have their young children exposed to stuff in the classroom that should only be discussed in the home. We live in a day when more families are now headed by a single parent without a male mentor in many of them to give direction. Listen, God called husbands and fathers to be spiritual leaders in their home. We live in a day when children are free to rebel and diss their parents. Then they rebel against teachers. Then they rebel against all authority. And one of the contributing factors is children, many times, are growing up without having the influence of a godly man to give them guidance and direction and mentor them. Am I right this morning? We live in a day when loneliness is one of man's greatest problems because more and more Americans are spending more time with their faces in their devices and their faces on their computers and on their television sets. That's why we need connection. That's why we need personal interaction the way God designed his body, and you all need to belong in a connect group. More and more living isolated and loneliness is growing worse by the day. And listen, that breeds all kinds of weird thinking when you're all alone all the time, left only to your own devices. You ever find yourself thinking things and you wonder, is that true? Then you get with other people and you begin to discuss the things that God is saying to all of us, and you realize that wasn't true at all. The enemy's trying to plant some stuff in my head. We're discovering that marriage doesn't always solve loneliness problems, by the way. So it may not be that marriage is going to fix that for you. If you're not having proper communication, if you don't have mutual love and commitment to each other, you can still be lonely even though you're married and feel empty. If your spouse refuses to have fellowship and relationship, you're going to live in constant upheaval of fear. Well, let me encourage you right here. If your marriage isn't what you want it to be, start learning how to communicate about your concerns and the things that you need in your life so that the partner knows exactly where you're coming from, and there should be a free flow of transparent communication. That's the way God designed us, for fellowship, for communication. The Lord wants us to grow to the point that through our relationship with him, we know he's greater than anything we face. If we are mature in the Lord, we have to be in his word. We have to stand on his word, meditate in the word, which means I get alone with him and I listen to what he says. We have to have strong relationship with him if we expect him to assist us in changing the direction and patterns of life. God wants you to know he is our burden bearer. He wants you to be able to cast your cares on him. We carry too much, and no matter what you're going through, God is in the process of working and to help you get through it. Say, God's working it out. Remember, the word says, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. So there's something I have to do, then there's something he's going to do. If the spirit of fear is attacking an area of your life, you armor up. You get God's word in that area of your life. That means you ought to be in God's house every Sunday. That means you should be during the week in a connection group. You need to be involved in things of the Lord if you expect to be an overcomer. And now that you love the Lord, listen, God wants you to give him all those things that cause you worry, the things that cause you to be afraid. God wants you to consciously say, I'm giving this to you. You're my burden bearer. I can't carry these things by myself. I give them to you because his perfect love casts out all fear. You know, even the semis that go up and down our highways have printed on the sides of them load limits. And too many people are overloaded. If they put you on the scale, they would fine you for carrying a load that you weren't designed to carry. The Lord wants you to take all of the things that are weighing you down, all of the stuff off that causes you to sweat. And in Ezekiel 44, the scripture tells us that the priest was commanded not to go into the presence of God until they took off every garment that would cause them to sweat. They were to remove their woolen garments before they entered the presence of God because they would cause them to sweat. They had to remove that clothing before they could appear before the Lord. In fact, the commandment says they must not wear anything that makes them sweat. They could not go into the presence of God sweating. Often we come before the Lord and we've got all this stuff we're burdened by, all the things we're worried about and fearful about. And we come to God and say, God, you got to help me. And really those kinds of prayers, they're desperation prayers. Sometimes they don't have much faith in them. We've got to take everything off that causes us to get burdened down. Now, how do we do that? Well, simple things that we do by saying, God, this is the issue I'm facing. God, I have an issue with someone at work or with my relationship at home, or I'm having a health crisis, or I have to give this to you. I can't carry this. Peter said we have to hurl everything away from us that are cares and burdens. In other words, you're to take whatever is burdening you and you are to cast it. You are to throw it. You are to pick it up and you are to toss it. Up. Oh. Is that the Rams or the Patriots? Okay. And you say, God, you know this thing I'm going through? I need the strength. I need to be able to move this thing forward. Do you know what I'm speaking about here today? God says, listen, don't overburden yourself. He said, take the burden and let me carry it. Let me help you share it. I cast this burden on you because I know you can handle this. I'm not handling this very well. And there's so many issues, bitterness issues. Life can leave you bitter. Your ex can leave you bitter. Your mama can leave you bitter. A child can leave you bitter. God says, no, cast that thing. Throw it away. Get it away from you. And here's the problem. Some people look at that word cast, and that's kind of the old King James verbiage for that, and they think of somebody fishing, you know. But the problem is you keep reeling it back in. You don't leave it where you cast it. The word cast in the Hebrew means, and rather in the Aramaic means, you are to throw it away and leave it there, right? Don't keep carrying that stuff around. There's so many things that cause us to worry. A bad report of any kind will keep you concerned. Financial worries keep you concerned. We have to make up our minds. Fear is no longer going to control us. How many know there are things that cause you to worry? And if you choose to, they will just drive you to constant stress. That's why you need to be here. Get that cortisol out of your body tonight. There are many things that you could grow fearful about if you allow them to grip you. We live in a world dominated by fear. Jesus predicted that and told us at the end of days, men and women would be overwhelmed by fear in life. Stuff happening right here in our own country. And here's the words of Jesus. People will be so frightened, they will faint because of what is happening to the world. You've got to step up to the spirit of fear and say, fear, you are a liar. I will not activate you by in any way acknowledging you. Authorities warn us. We don't know when it's going to happen. But there will be attempts continuing going forward to try to disrupt our economy and kill Americans wherever people can find them. If we're not careful, we'll live our lives behind walls, afraid to come out of our houses. God doesn't want us to live our lives like that. We say, well, wait a minute, my life is in God's hands, so I'm not going to worry whether I live or I die. I am the Lord's. And if God can send ravens to feed Elijah, he can take care of me. The Christian walk is designed to be a life of allowing Jesus to be the Lord of our lives. That means I'm not in charge. You are. I put everything in your hands. Every single day, early in the morning, I'm trusting you with all of my heart. I'm not leaning to my own understanding. You see, the Christian walk is supposed to be centered in the peace that Jesus brings us. So I'm not waiting for circumstances to change. I'm going to live my life serving Jesus no matter what is happening at the moment circumstantially. When trouble comes to your house, you need to be mature enough to say, Lord, I cast this care upon you. You've not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. The spirit of fear will break down the hedge of protection that God has around you. You can't give in to fear. Job said, the thing I feared most came on me. So you have to subdue that spirit, bring it into submission to what God's word says. And you, when the enemy brings you a thought, you pull back from God's word, the counter thought like Jesus did in the wilderness, and say, but God says this. So you are a liar. You subdue that. You face those fears knowing God will help you conquer them. Why is it so important to God that we cast all of our cares on him? Why is it important to God that we learn to take Sabbath rest? Why is it important to God that he commands us to stop the patterns and the pace and slow down and pay attention to him and pay attention to the good things of life? As we mature in life and in Christ, we know that the righteous walk by faith, not by sight. And when we're living for him, we can't live by what we see only in the moment in our natural abilities. We have to stop living in constant fear and worry. We can't be ruled by it. Fear believes what the devil says. That's what fear believes. If you're born again, you don't believe what the devil says. The devil's plan is to make you believe circumstances will never change. Satan wants you to think your spouse is never going to change. What you see is what you're always going to have to deal with. If you begin to trust the Lord and begin to focus your faith and you're willing to have a time of communication with the spirit of fear and put him in his place, even though the spouse may grow worse for a period of time, that doesn't mean it's over. You continue to believe that God is going to reconcile matters. The enemy wants you to be so fearful, he'll steal your joy. The enemy doesn't want you to enjoy your life. He wants you weighted down, burdened. The enemy wants us panicked. The devil is a liar. Come on, join me in saying it. The devil is a liar. And as we grow in Christ, we learn it's only a matter of time before God takes us to victory. That's the plan, to make overcomers out of us. Have you applied for a new home loan? Relax. If that's your house, you're going to get it. God will get it to you. Listen, if that's not yours, you might have to wait a while. You know you're growing up in Christ when you are worried about something, but you say, wait a minute, I'm not going to keep living like this. I'm going to give this to God. I'm going to just trust him. You know, you're giving up in growing up in Christ when fear gets a grip on you, but then you begin to exercise authority over that spirit and you don't allow fear to stop you any longer. If you believe that our God is sovereign, then you look at the silver lining that he always puts in every cloud. If you're truly trusting in the Lord, you begin to command yourself to stop worrying because you know that worry is rooted in fear. Let me break it down right here. If you're a worrier, you're walking in fear because worry is nothing more than a symptom of the spirit of fear manifesting in your life. And if you're truly trusting the Lord, you're going to subdue that spirit and put that snake under your feet. And you shall not sweat it. Tell your neighbor, you shall not sweat it, right? The enemy wants you to get all worked up over your circumstances. You ever notice how people get worked up over the smallest stuff? I mean, they escalate this stuff. It's crazy. He wants you to get all worked up over your future. How many know that the majority of everything you're worried about never comes to pass? Yeah. Kind of interesting how that works. That's why insurance companies are so wealthy. Yeah. There's about 80 to 85% of the things that you're worried about don't happen. Especially the stuff that you're up all night worrying about. You awaken in the morning and say, what's wrong with me? Why did I wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning with this spinning around in my head? Quit holding your breath. Exhale. Take a deep breath. And exhale. And learn to relax. You're in the Lord's hand. Right? He's going to work everything out in your life. Because we know. Can you say that like Paul wrote it? We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. You get back to a right relationship by making God first in your life. How many know this is a mind game that the enemy's playing with you? Your biggest battle goes on between your ears. How many know that you wrestle in your mind every single day with thoughts he puts in there, with stuff that comes up out of your old nature, and with the word of God that's trying to counter all the other stuff that's going on in your head? But your attitude is, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. You know, worry's like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do. You move a lot, but you don't go anywhere. Okay? What good is it to sit there and worry about a bad report? Worried about your spouse. Worried about your job. What good is it? God's got something much better than living in worry, and God will turn it around for your good. So enjoy the process. I'm getting closer to God in this. It just draws me into a closer, more intimate time with him when I'm under pressure. It's God's message for us. Enjoy your life. Quit waiting for something to change before you can smile. Quit waiting for something to change before you enjoy every day that God gives you on this planet to live. You got up today. You stood up on your feet today. You walked to your automobile and walked on the campus. Go out. Have a barbecue. Take a ride. Get your mind off yourself. If we truly trust the Lord, our attitude should be, it's only a matter of time before my God turns this thing around. Right? David Jeremiah reminded me of something I heard when I was first starting in the ministry, and a preacher got up and he read from a passage, because it's frequent you read this phrase beginning a story that God's telling us in his word, and it starts this way, it came to pass. And I remember hearing when I was probably in college or even in high school, a preacher stopping and reading that, and he said, that means it's going to go away. It came to pass. And even though what comes after that is a problem, it will pass. I thought, wow. And David Jeremiah, he quoted that for his audience, and they reacted. They went, yay. Like, some of them had never heard that before, so they got really excited. And I thought, wow, yeah, I remember hearing that. It came to pass. God will turn it around. You know, our attitude should be, well, the way I thought it was going to work out didn't work. But it's only a matter of time. The way he wants it to work out is going to happen. He's working on me in the meantime. He's getting me where I need to be, because we need to change to get ready for the plan God has. See, we think we've got God figured out, and this is the way I think you should do it, God, because I'm so intelligent. And then God kind of laughs and says, well, it's not going to be the way you think it's going to be. It's going to be the way I designed it, and you're going to have to make the adjustment. God will allow us to be tested, because all of us need changing. Have you ever rebuked something in Jesus' name and it didn't change? Yeah. And the reason it didn't change, he's teaching you something while you're waiting. He's showing us something. That helps somebody, right, by the way. There's sometimes God's answer will be yes. Sometimes it will be no. What are you going to do when he says no to you? Huh? How are you going to react? No. He knows better than we do. You learn a better reaction. Sometimes it's not yet. Not ready yet. And sometimes the answer is, you have to grow to a certain point before I'm going to give you that. And when you get to that point, then I'll give that to you. But if you refuse to grow, because I'm mad at God, he's not doing what I want, then you're not going to get what he promised you. That's how that works. If you're in a fire, understand, God has you there for a reason. It's to refine you, refine all of us. Things sometimes get worse before they get better. Sometimes you hit a brick wall until you're willing to change, because we get very stubborn at times. And sometimes you have to feel all alone for a time till you say, God, I give up, I surrender. You have to believe that God is always working stuff for our good. And if you love the Lord, he'll allow you to get into the fire and the process of that for a period, because we're in the fire, we learn to know him in a way we didn't know him before. When you're in the fire, we learn the adjustments and the stuff that needs to come out of our spirit, that needs to get burned up in his presence. It's all a part of the plan of God. Know this, this too shall pass. When God's working in your life, he will allow you to go through difficulties. And God wants to demonstrate in that process, he can bless you in spite of the challenge. He wants you to know he can bless you in spite of what you face. He wants you to know he can deliver you even when you're stuck in the fire. He wants you to know he can encourage you when everything to the natural eye and the way we process information says it's hopeless, it's lost. Even when the bottom falls out, he shows you he can still take care of you. Your child goes out late at night, doesn't come home when you told him to be home. You need to set some boundaries right there. I'm telling you, that's another message. And worry will walk in. Well, where is he? Is he okay? And you have to learn to get up out of bed and cast your cares on the Lord and say, Master, I'm going to give you my child. And I have to hurl this spirit of fear as far away as I can. If you're not careful, you're going to try to carry all these burdens on your own self, and you can't manage them. You're carrying financial worries, family worries. My career is not going well. If the job dries up, if you're not careful, you'll collapse under the weight of all that. You're off living, and the next thing you know, you're away from God because you no longer trust him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You and your house shall be saved. The child may be living like the devil today, but you're determined that child is going to heaven where I'm going to be. I'm standing on the word of the Lord. I speak the word of the Lord. I cast this care off. I'm standing on your promise. And you'll have a period of time when you'll even wonder where God is. Where'd you go? But anytime a situation is desperate and it takes your breath away, you learn to give it to God. No matter what it looks like, it's not over yet. Whatever it is, it's not over. God will show you how great he is no matter what circumstance you're in. Jesus put it like this, come to me. Come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden. And I like this translation, I love this. It says, are you tired? In other words, are you ready to give up carrying all this by yourself? Worn out, burned out on religion? Are you tired? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me. Work with me. Watch how I do it. Boy, what a revelation that is right there. Watch how I do it. I love this next phrase. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. You just flow with what God's doing in his power. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. That's an amazing truth that Jesus spoke there. So what do we do when we have a bad report? Now we need some rest. We go to him. He's the one who can ease the burdens. What do you do when you got bills to pay? What do you do when you've been given a negative report? What do you do when society has not treated you fairly? What do you do? You have to learn to give it to Jesus. Quit trying to take the matter into your own hands. And know God's going to make it all up to you. even when someone's been unfair. We're not to come before the Lord carrying anything that causes us to sweat or to worry. You trust him. How many know that worry doesn't solve anything? You ever figure that out? Spend all this time, did that change anything? In fact, the more you worry, the worse it gets. And now that you love the Lord, he doesn't want you worked up over issues, challenges. He wants you to trust him so much because you know he's going to help you and take care of you and walk with you through the process. Jesus put it like this, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Tell somebody, fear not. So the Lord wants us to trust him so much that we give our worries to him, believing he's going to work it out. Paul said, be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer, in other words, don't worry about anything, pray about everything with supplication. In other words, you press in, that's what that word means, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. In other words, not worrying, not allowing fear to get a hold of us, not being anxious, but to pray. If we would spend the energy praying that we use worrying, we would have the answers quickly in our hands, right? But we are to pray about everything. Don't lie in that bed and worry, worry, worry. Give it to the Lord. Cast your care on him. Rebuke the adversary. Say, get out of my life. Use the word. Put on a heart of thanksgiving. That's also in that passage. I thank you, Lord, because I know who you are. I thank you. You've always come through for me, and you will continue to come through. And then the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. So if you want peace, you got to get the fear out of your life, and you start praying with thanksgiving. We can't prevent trouble from coming our way, but God wants us to grow to the point we don't allow the worries of life to get us down. Am I preaching to myself today? Yeah, a little bit. How about you? Who else am I preaching to? Anybody else? Now that you love the Lord, yeah, he doesn't want you worried. Worry is rooted in fear. Some of you come from a family of warriors. That's all they do. They just worry, 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 worry. And they pass it on to the next generation. You need to rebuke. That's a generational curse. Get out. No more. It stops with me. I'm not going to carry on what I watch my parents do. They worried, 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 worried all the time. And they escalated stuff emotionally all the time. God has already worked it out. He wrote the book of your life before you were formed in your mom. Do you know that? He already worked it out. But if you keep going through the same test month after month, year after year, maybe there's something I need to change so I can pass this test. Quit blaming the people around you. You need to change. If the same thing keeps returning, you are the problem. But God will get our attention. That's the way he gets our attention. Submit yourself to God, which we finally give up and we say, okay, God, I surrender. Resist the devil. You will not get away with this. And he will what? He'll take off. Listen, he's not in that for the long haul. He is a very short-term boxer. When he gets in the ring with you, he's only good for 2 or 3 rounds. But if you learn how to box smartly, he won't be around by the middle rounds. He'll be gone because you will outlast him. God will get your attention. And you have to submit to God. You can risk the devil. And if you're a warrior by nature, what you're doing is you're giving an opening to the devil, and you've got to learn to replace worry with prayer. Replace your worry with prayer. Lord, I give you this circumstance. I can't take care of it. It's too big of a problem, and the burden's too big to carry. And I know you're worried about my children. You love them more than I do. So he says, give your kids to me. How many know you can only do so much anyway? Yeah. We know that some haven't done a very good job of raising their children by watching what's happened in our culture, but most have done the best they could at the time, to the best of their ability. It wasn't always good enough, but you did the best you could. So what do I do now? I call on the name of the Lord. God, you've got to step in here and help us. Jesus said that the cares of this world will choke out the word of God and you will become unfruitful in your life. He said that seed, the word of God, is cast into soil. And some of it's really good soil and some of it's very shallow soil. And he talks about the cares of this world that grow up like weeds around the seed that you planted. And because you keep allowing the cares to build and build, they grow stronger and more powerful than the seed of the word of God around you, more of them, and you become unfruitful because they choke out the word of the Lord. They take all the vitamins and nutrients out of the soil around the fruit that you want born, and that plant can't grow properly. In Mark 4, it's all there. Jesus said, if you allow worry to come into your life, which is rooted in fear, if you allow that to come in, it will choke out the word of God, and that will damage your future. So the word is mighty and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, but when we allow worry to overtake us, we nullify the power of God's word. You can prevent the word of God from operating when the spirit of fear and worry comes over us and manipulates and dominates us. God wants us to reach the point where we give up control and we say, Lord, I'm ready for change. I'm not going to sweat the small stuff. Amen? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego put it this way. They were told, if you don't bow, we're going to throw you into the smelting furnace. And they looked at the king who had all power, and he had heated it 7 times hotter to make his point. And they said, with all due respect, sir, if it be so. So, when you reach the point where nobody can threaten you, you've reached the point where you can obey God. Jesus prayed like this, give us this day our daily bread. Okay, not worrying about the bread tomorrow. He's already worked on that. Give us this day our daily bread. Lord wants us to grow to the point where we trust him to quit worrying about tomorrow. Give us this day. When the children of Israel in the wilderness, God fed them manna, angel food every day. I want that recipe. I keep saying that. Would you please download that? I would love to have that because it was phenomenal. He was the God who met all the needs every day. He doesn't change. He met their needs. He meets our needs. And remember, the manna was good for one day. And why did he only allow that manna to be able to be good and healthy and vital and vibrant for them for 24 hours? Because if they gathered the manna and kept more of it than they needed for the day, it would rot in the bowl. God was trying to help them understand, I'm going to take care of you every single day. And I want you to learn to trust me every single day. Amen? Quit trying to hoard stuff for tomorrow. I'm going to stack it up. You're not going to live forever. You're going to be like the guy who built bigger barns. And then and God snuck up on him in the middle of the night and said, hey, fool, you're going to die tonight. Where's that all going to go? Okay? Bring your time, your talent, and your treasure that you have now and say, Lord, I offer to you. Quit hoarding for tomorrow because God said, I'll take care of you tomorrow. I'm your God. I own everything. So God wants you to believe that when tomorrow arrives, his provision will be there to take care of you. And if he can care, Jesus said, for the birds that fly through the skies. And my heavenly Father, he said, takes note of every sparrow that falls to the ground. My Father attends the funeral of every bird that drops out of the sky. And he says, how much more value are you to him than the sparrow that falls? So if you're worried, it's because you haven't given it to the Lord. You haven't placed it in his hands. You've got to give it up. You have to throw it down, no matter what you're carrying. When you come to the altar, like we do on Sunday night, and we will again tonight, you got to leave your burdens at the altar. But here's how a lot of people come to the altar and pray. Yeah. Here you go. I got all this baggage, Lord. Here I come. This thing is heavier than I am. Okay, Lord. I'm bringing myself and all my stuff to you. Here I am. I want to leave it with you, Master. And here's what we're supposed to do. You're going to take care of it. But I've watched way too many of you do this. Thank you, Lord, you're going to help me with this. I'm going home now. I'm going home. Yeah. Yeah. No. Because you're no better off, except you felt good for 5 minutes. Going home with the junk. You need to leave it at the feet of Jesus. You don't pick it back up. And you pray, and after you prayed, you let it go. I got to close. One more point. You're not going to overcome fear and worry if you keep practicing sin that the Holy Spirit says, stop. And so you hear these phrases, and she says, I'm afraid I might be pregnant. There's a reason why you're afraid, right? You're afraid when you use drugs because if you get caught, you may end up in cuffs. You're never overcoming fear and worry when sin is practiced, because it opens the door for the spirit of fear to come in. See, at the moment when you're enjoying whatever it is, sin you're practicing, yeah, it's cool, it's good. But as soon as it dissipates, and it does really quickly, then the worry begins because you know there's going to be a consequence to this. Now, you can call me a Bible thumper. You can call me a religious fanatic. Bottom line is this, when you practice sin, you open the door for the enemy and he'll rush right into your life. He will steal, kill, and destroy. And one of the biggest keys to eliminating the fear and worry is to get rid of the sin. Offload it. Because if you're living right, doing right, it paves the way for you to have faith with a good conscience toward the Lord. You can stay up worrying yourself sick all night. I'm not going to live like that. I'm tempted every day to do stuff like that. I refuse to capitulate to that. You have to reach the point where you can't be threatened anymore. If I die, I die. But I'll die trusting the Lord. You've got a court date coming up. God says, live right. Put me first. I'll help you. I could tell you stories about that. I used to love to go to court in Cook County, Chicago area. Oh, it was hilarious. But I don't have time. If you come back second service, maybe I'll tell those. Oh, my goodness. If you have faith, some people think, well, I have faith. I won't have any problems anymore. Let me tell you, true faith is even after you've lost everything, you stand and you say, I still trust you because you're still good and you're still God. I have to have 100 prayer moments every day and an attitude of communion every day because it gets so intense. And I've just learned to roll it on Jesus. The enemy brings all of this trouble into our lives, trying to steal peace, joy. But God says, take everything off of you that causes you to sweat. All the burdens, all the cares, dump them on me. You're giving the devil way too much power in your life. Quit tripping about it. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. What are you worried about? What are you fearful about? So you go through your house spiritually and you do a house cleaning. This worry, bad report. Would you carry this with me, Lord, please? All the fears. I'm believing your report and I'm giving up control. And I'm submitting myself to your truth. And I'm casting it your way. Thank you, Lord. Let's stand. Thank you, Father. You're good. Praise the Lord.